Вариант 28.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
My biggest ambition in life is my private library with some 40 or 50,000 English books, which I consider interesting, like the library of Professor Umberto Eco, the author of The Name of the Rose, who teaches the semiotics in the University of Milan. Then I may design a plan of its service to my students, colleagues, friends, and scholars of all nationalities who love reading. If I have time, they may chat with me on any titles I've read. This project will definitely be my pilot one for the sake of true scholarship, and therefore I'd be happy to have something to do after my retirement at the university.
Speaker B.
My dream is to become a primary school teacher and go to Tanzania to teach and help the people there. I'm not just hoping to achieve it, I will achieve it. Believing that you can do it is the only way to achieve your dream. I'm only 14 at the moment, but I've already started by choosing GCSE options, which are good for primary school teaching, and by putting aside money for the trip to Tanzania. Whatever your dream, if you truly put your heart into it and do everything to achieve it, you will get there. But you must believe in yourself and in your dream. Believe that you can get there.
Speaker C.
I've already thought this idea through pretty thoroughly. I'm not quite sure about the specific job I will have. However, I have a lot of schooling under my belt, currently in game animation with a bachelor's degree on the way. Cartoons have had a brilliant impact on our society. Just think of how many people crack a smile when someone mentions a Simpsons or Family Guy episode. I want to create characters as powerful as Krusty the Clown or Moe. In 10 years' time, I'd like to create an animated series that could rival the satirical cartoons of today and the 90s.
Speaker D.
I want to be happy. That's my main ambition in life. It may sound selfish, but if you look deeper into it, it's not. That's because I know that doing things to help others makes me feel good, and making other people happy makes me to be known as a good person, and by treating everyone with respect, helps me become respected. And that's what I feel will help me reach my goal. I don't really care how much money I die with, as long as I have enough to live comfortably and get by. But if I can look back after I die and say, wish I could do it all again, then I will be completely satisfied.
Speaker E.
I'm nowhere near failing at school, but I'm not quite a straight A student. If you do very well or very badly at school, it's easier to decide because there are a limited number of things you can feel you should do. If you get low grades, then hairdressing or mechanics are all typical careers. If you do very well, then becoming a doctor or a lawyer is an obvious decision, as you can make a lot of money in these fields. But when you're somewhere in between, it's a lot harder. I'm 17, and honestly, I lack direction at the moment.
Speaker F.
I want to be a forensic scientist. They serve as experts and help diagnose insanity. This will take an undergrad degree in pre-med, medical school, and a forensic fellowship. I even plan to put volleyball aside to pursue my dream. I'm a very perceptive person. I can always tell when someone is lying. It's like a sixth sense. I'm a sleuth and can tell when someone is changing lanes before they even put their blinker on. 5 minutes into a crime movie and I know the guilty one because I just know. It's weird. But this is what I truly want to be.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
My biggest ambition in life is my private library with some 40 or 50,000 English books, which I consider interesting, like the library of Professor Umberto Eco, the author of The Name of the Rose, who teaches the semiotics in the University of Milan. Then I may design a plan of its service to my students, colleagues, friends, and scholars of all nationalities who love reading. If I have time, they may chat with me on any titles I've read. This project will definitely be my pilot one for the sake of true scholarship, and therefore I'd be happy to have something to do after my retirement at the university.
Speaker B.
My dream is to become a primary school teacher and go to Tanzania to teach and help the people there. I'm not just hoping to achieve it, I will achieve it. Believing that you can do it is the only way to achieve your dream. I'm only 14 at the moment, but I've already started by choosing GCSE options, which are good for primary school teaching, and by putting aside money for the trip to Tanzania. Whatever your dream, if you truly put your heart into it and do everything to achieve it, you will get there. But you must believe in yourself and in your dream. Believe that you can get there.
Speaker C.
I've already thought this idea through pretty thoroughly. I'm not quite sure about the specific job I will have. However, I have a lot of schooling under my belt, currently in game animation with a bachelor's degree on the way. Cartoons have had a brilliant impact on our society. Just think of how many people crack a smile when someone mentions a Simpsons or Family Guy episode. I want to create characters as powerful as Krusty the Clown or Moe. In 10 years' time, I'd like to create an animated series that could rival the satirical cartoons of today and the 90s.
Speaker D.
I want to be happy. That's my main ambition in life. It may sound selfish, but if you look deeper into it, it's not. That's because I know that doing things to help others makes me feel good, and making other people happy makes me to be known as a good person, and by treating everyone with respect, helps me become respected. And that's what I feel will help me reach my goal. I don't really care how much money I die with, as long as I have enough to live comfortably and get by. But if I can look back after I die and say, "Wish I could do it all again," then I will be completely satisfied.
Speaker E.
I'm nowhere near failing at school, but I'm not quite a straight-A student. If you do very well or very badly at school, it's easier to decide because there are a limited number of things you can feel you should do. If you get low grades, then hairdressing or mechanics are all typical careers. If you do very well, then becoming a doctor or a lawyer is an obvious decision, as you can make a lot of money in these fields. But when you're somewhere in between, it's a lot harder. I'm 17, and honestly, I lack direction at the moment.
Speaker F.
I want to be a forensic scientist. They serve as experts and help diagnose insanity. This will take an undergrad degree in pre-med, medical school, and a forensic fellowship. I even plan to put volleyball aside to pursue my dream. I'm a very perceptive person. I can always tell when someone is lying. It's like a sixth sense. I'm a sleuth and can tell when someone is changing lanes before they even put their blinker on. 5 minutes into a crime movie, and I know the guilty one, because I just know. It's weird. But this is what I truly want to be.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A-G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Alex. Alex, are you sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping, just thinking.
About what?
Well, I'll be going back home to visit my family for a couple of weeks.
That's great. It's been quite a while since you've seen them, hasn't it? So you must be thinking about how happy you'll be to see them again.
Yes, that's true. But I'm also thinking about what kind of gifts I should bring back from England for everyone. My brother, my sister, her husband and son, and of course for my parents.
Of course you want to bring back some traditional things, don't you? How about a Dumbledore-style kite? You once mentioned that your nephew is fond of collecting kites.
Hey, that's a good idea. You and I had a lot of fun flying wizard kites together. I'm sure my nephew would get a kick out of flying an English-style kite too.
Great! You could also bring back some toy soldiers from the Royal Ceremonial Collection.
Kelly, you're a genius. Royal Guard soldiers are not only very colourful, they represent English traditions too. My parents will really like them. Okay, now I have to think of something to buy for my sister. That's a tough one.
Don't be so pessimistic, Alex. Does she like drinking tea? You could bring her back an English teapot.
Of course, another great idea. How do you think up the idea so easily, Kelly? Now, the toughest people to shop for, my brother and my sister's husband. What in the world could I bring back for them?
Didn't you tell me that your brother is studying English now?
Yes, that's right. He hopes to come to England after he graduates from university.
So why not buy him a DVD so that he can watch a film in English?
Sure, he'd love that. He's crazy about Harry Potter film series, so he can have fun and learn at the same time. You amaze me, Kelly.
Geniuses always do that. Okay, now for your brother-in-law. I think you're on your own there.
Well, I could just get him an I've been to London t-shirt.
That's a great idea.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hi, Alex. Alex, are you sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping, just thinking.
About what?
Well, I'll be going back home to visit my family for a couple of weeks.
That's great. It's been quite a while since you've seen them, hasn't it? So you must be thinking about how happy you'll be to see them again.
Yes, that's true. But I'm also thinking about what kind of gifts I should bring back from England for everyone. My brother, my sister, her husband and son, and of course for my parents.
Of course you want to bring back some traditional things, don't you? How about a Dumbledore-style kite? You once mentioned that your nephew is fond of collecting kites.
Hey, that's a good idea. You and I had a lot of fun flying wizard kites together. I'm sure my nephew would get a kick out of flying an English-style kite too.
Great! You could also bring back some toy soldiers from the Royal Ceremonial Collection.
Kelly, you're a genius. Royal Guard soldiers are not only very colourful, they represent English traditions too. My parents will really like them. Okay, now I have to think of something to buy for my sister. That's a tough one.
Don't be so pessimistic, Alex. Does she like drinking tea? You could bring her back an English teapot.
Of course, another great idea. How do you think up the idea so easily, Kelly? Now, the toughest people to shop for, my brother and my sister's husband. What in the world could I bring back for them?
Didn't you tell me that your brother is studying English now?
Yes, that's right. He hopes to come to England after he graduates from university.
So why not buy him a DVD so that he can watch a film in English?
Sure, he'd love that. He's crazy about Harry Potter film series, so he can have fun and learn at the same time. You amaze me, Kelly.
Geniuses always do that. Okay, now for your brother-in-law. I think you're on your own there.
Well, I could just get him an I've been to London t-shirt.
That's a great idea.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ популярной певицы о начале ее карьеры. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
It was my 9th time appearing in front of an executive to sing a few songs and try to snag a record deal. The first 8 tryouts had led to stone-cold rejections. I didn't have the right to look. My hair was dated. I wasn't a beauty queen. I was a little too old and too heavy, too something. That morning, waiting to sing 3 songs for a man behind a desk without a microphone, lights, or amps, I was nervous. It's very hard to stand there and let someone judge whether you're worthy of a commercial career in 10 minutes. But in this business, it was something I had to do. I've always been a fighter. Most of the people I knew growing up in rural Illinois struggled just like my family did. Outside of farming, there wasn't much of a local economy. If you weren't a pig farmer or corn farmer, you'd be down at the diner or truck stop flipping eggs, an auto mechanic working in a shop in your backyard, or a bartender pouring drinks. The best you could hope for if you wanted new horizons was to latch onto a skill or career that could take you out of there. That's how I viewed my singing. My mom, Christine, says I started carrying tunes when I was 3. By the time I was 4 or 5, Mom was setting up spontaneous concerts at the nearest department store on Saturday afternoons. She'd plant me on a box and announce she had a treat in store. I'd sing a Patsy Cline tune and shoppers would go nuts. Mom was proud of me. Soon I was competing in talent shows. Finally, when I was 19... I made money from singing in a local bar. My so-called singing act was to belt out country standards to the backup of music-only tapes on a portable recorder, a kind of do-it-yourself karaoke machine. I was so scared beforehand, but I did it anyway. I knew I could sing, and I got paid for it, too. That was a huge step for me. Many years after that, in John Grady's office at 8 a.m., I also knew I could sing, but I felt a little better this time because I had my manager, Dale, with me. I also had Big Kenny and John Rich playing backup. They were people I loved and trusted, the group of singers I'd found after moving to Nashville. Dale said my only job that morning was to sing like it was 11 p.m. I was in the middle of my 2nd song when I glanced up at John Grady, who was sitting behind his desk. He didn't appear interested at all. He was going through his desk looking for something to write with, as if to jot down a grocery list. It was awkward. About halfway through, I saw Mr. Grady write something down. From where I stood, I could clearly see him write the letter N, followed by the letter O, as in no. That's it, I thought. He's passing on me. He folded the paper while I went on with my third and last song. I was sure the guy hated me and could not wait to get out of there. As we said goodbye, Grady gave me the paper. I didn't understand. Though my hands were shaking, I found the courage to read the note. It didn't say no. It said now. My dream of becoming a professional musician was starting to come true. I still had to write, sing, and record an album, of course. But I was pumped. The next day, I started writing songs, and over the next 3 months, I wrote at least 100. Most of them are in a drawer somewhere, but the ones that clicked ended up on my first record.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
It was my ninth time appearing in front of an executive to sing a few songs and try to snag a record deal. The first 8 tryouts had led to stone-cold rejections. I didn't have the right to look. My hair was dated. I wasn't a beauty queen. I was a little too old and too heavy, too something. That morning, waiting to sing 3 songs for a man behind a desk without a microphone, lights, or amps, I was nervous. It's very hard to stand there and let someone judge whether you're worthy of a commercial career in 10 minutes. But in this business, it was something I had to do. I've always been a fighter. Most of the people I knew growing up in rural Illinois struggled just like my family did. Outside of farming, there wasn't much of a local economy. If you weren't a pig farmer or corn farmer, you'd be down at the diner or truck stop flipping eggs, an auto mechanic working in a shop in your backyard, or a bartender pouring drinks. The best you could hope for if you wanted new horizons was to latch onto a skill or career that could take you out of there. That's how I viewed my singing. My mom, Christine, says I started carrying tunes when I was 3. By the time I was 4 or 5, Mom was setting up spontaneous concerts at the nearest department store on Saturday afternoons. She'd plant me on a box and announce she had a treat in store. I'd sing a Patsy Cline tune and shoppers would go nuts. Mom was proud of me. Soon I was competing in talent shows. Finally, when I was 19... I made money from singing in a local bar. My so-called singing act was to belt out country standards to the backup of music-only tapes on a portable recorder, a kind of do-it-yourself karaoke machine. I was so scared beforehand, but I did it anyway. I knew I could sing, and I got paid for it, too. That was a huge step for me. Many years after that, in John Grady's office at 8 a.m., I also knew I could sing, but I felt a little better this time because I had my manager, Dale, with me. I also had Big Kenny and John Rich playing backup. They were people I loved and trusted, the group of singers I'd found after moving to Nashville. Dale said my only job that morning was to sing like it was 11 p.m. I was in the middle of my second song when I glanced up at John Grady, who was sitting behind his desk. He didn't appear interested at all. He was going through his desk looking for something to write with, as if to jot down a grocery list. It was awkward. About halfway through, I saw Mr. Grady write something down. From where I stood, I could clearly see him write the letter N, followed by the letter O, as in no. That's it, I thought. He's passing on me. He folded the paper while I went on with my third and last song. I was sure the guy hated me and could not wait to get out of there. As we said goodbye, Grady gave me the paper. I didn't understand. Though my hands were shaking, I found the courage to read the note. It didn't say no. It said now. My dream of becoming a professional musician was starting to come true. I still had to write, sing, and record an album, of course. But I was pumped. The next day, I started writing songs, and over the next 3 months, I wrote at least 100. Most of them are in a drawer somewhere, but the ones that clicked ended up on my first record.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.